Holding on, Jackie's. You better believe I'm holding on, Queen Jackie's. Holding on. You better believe I'm holding on. Holding on. You better believe I'm. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sisters United. Hey, everybody. Today, we are supposed to have a subject. Hopefully, Rita will come on because we're going to talk a little bit about grief today. As y'all can see, Penny is in the background. What's going on, Glory?
What is going on? I am excited about today. I am really excited. I had a great Martin Luther King's Day. So I'm just getting back to regular business, but I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. I'm wearing my pearls today because I'm in a group that says, you know, wear pearls today in honor of our vice president. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'll wear my pearls today. I am so honored that we have a black woman vice president. So we're celebrating. Amen to that. So hats off to that again. So tell me, how did your MLK day go?
Well, I really didn't even do anything. I just laid around the house, got a lot of things done at home with the kids. I cleaned up, washed clothes. I cooked a meal, you know. It was just a normal day for me, but I did get a lot of things accomplished at home that I haven't been able to get done for a while now. So I took advantage of that holiday.
I know that's right. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I worked. I had to work. Yeah. I ran out of Houston delivering packages, so I was working. Wow. And that's what I do on Mondays. I'm talking about all morning long. I think that we were in the car till about 8 o'clock at night. I just was like, I was so sick of my car, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, Lord, in the name of Jesus, deliver me.
Where did you deliver these packages at?
Well, I'm a courier for a company. So me and my husband we just drive. Okay. I'm like, Lord, if you could just get me home. Help me, Jesus.
At least it was him driving and not you.
Yes. So, I kind of missed it. I listened to his messages on 90.9. They played his sermons all day long. So yeah. I got to participate in my way listening to the honorable Martin Luther King Jr. You know, powerful voice, powerful man of God, you know, really, really did a lot for us, you know, just in showing us at a time where people were saying we were nothing. He was standing showing the dignity and promise we have as a black community, you know, nonviolent, you know. I just think that while I was listening to it, his voice kind of takes you back into that time, you know?
Right.
You watch the movies, it puts you in that time, what they were going through, not just physically, but mentally, you know? Right. And it was like his speech just turned around causing a change in our way of thinking. And you know, I just enjoyed that besides being in the car all day. Yeah. So So did you get the, wait a minute, I'm gonna ask you a question. Back in the day, did you see Little Boy King, the movie Little Boy King, back in the day, way back in the day? Have you ever seen
No,
that movie?
I've never even watched that movie. I've heard of it, but I never got a chance to watch it.
Girl, that was one of the movies that we watched as a kid. And girl, let me tell you, all we can remember is Little Boy King, give up, don't give up your dream. You know, anyway, whatever. But it was one of my favorite movies. And when my children were little, I made sure they saw that movie. They was like, "Mama, we don't want to watch Martin Luther King. We don't want to watch Rosa Parks." I say, "You need to watch it. You need to know what
What
your
happened?
what happened. You know why we talk so much about you getting your education, about you representing the black culture. You know, doing all the things that you know how to do or desire to do. You know, they need to you need to see what people struggle, you know, through
I agree.
just so you can vote. Just so, you know, because my one of my children didn't like watching the movies with slaves and people getting beaten and just seeing it. It was like, why are we watching this? And I said, because you need to know. I said, this wasn't that long ago, you know, but people treat it like it was just so long ago. It wasn't long ago. You know, it wasn't. My grandmother dealt with it, you know, and they dealt with that serious prejudice. We lived up in East Texas, you know. And when I was a kid, I remember the stories of how they were hang still hanging. They had hung a guy from a light pole in Linden, Texas. We lived in Atlanta, Texas. In Linden, Texas, which is like probably like 30 minutes away, maybe not even 30 minutes. They had hung a man in the middle, they call it in the middle of town. They had hung him, you know, and they had a Piggly Wiggly, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, you know, I had to teach my kids, hey, that wasn't that long ago. And it's still people like that in Florida. And I think this president that's lead that they got, you know, had to go. I think he exposed a lot of the racism that's still in this world today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that Dr. Martin Luther King, his death, it brought a lot of change in for the black community, you know, and not even just the black community, for all races. You know, I really believe that he made a big difference in the world today. You know, I mean, before we couldn't even, you know, do some of the things we do now with, you know, being segregated or whatnot. But I really believe that, you know, he made a change. He made a big change. And, you know, without him being bold and, you know, being dominant and having a clear vision of what his ideal of how God wanted his people to be, I feel like his dream would have never been accomplished.
Come on. That's
So, I
true.
mean, it was great. He was a very great, honorable man, you know, to have a speech that was so profound, and it came to pass. It came to pass, even though we still face racism in today's time. But his death, you know, his beliefs and everything that he, you know, wanted to happen in the earth, it did happen. It did happen. You know, it did happen. So I'm grateful that, you know, they did honor him as Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm grateful for that.
Another thing I just want to express that I'm thankful for is recording, because a lot of times we you know, like people talk about Facebook and talk about these different things. Oh, everybody taking pictures, everybody taking pictures, you know. But I think it's important that we have memories. It's important because I think without somebody recording, without that, we would not be able to celebrate or know the impact that this powerful man of God had for our culture.
Absolutely,
So
absolutely.
that's a wonderful thing. So we were waiting on Rita. So Glory, anything you want to, we could do something else. We can talk about something else till we get Rita on the line. So what's been on your heart? What's been going on with you?
You know what? I always have something to talk about, But in specific, I do want to talk about being a mom and a business owner.
Oh my God.
And, trying to be a mom, a business owner, and a wife. And how, today I guess I struggle with putting the energy in the right places, all at the same time, being a mom, wife, business owner, and being married and running a business together. It's like, I guess I'm trying to balance this thing out. I'm trying to figure out, my like what's how to smoothly, play these roles. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
Like how to
how to balance.
be the best at every role without, stressing my own self out, or losing my own mind while trying to be the best for everybody else. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, I know I'm not the only one who probably going through, trying to be play the position of every role in the household, and then outside of the household too. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Like,
It's a lot.
it's a lot. It's a lot,
Oh,
but
girl,
mainly,
it's
the hats. Let's talk. You know what? I
Yeah,
would
let's talk
mainly
about
say
the hats. I like that.
the
I like
hats.
that. Yeah.
Yes,
Because
the
it's a
hats.
lot. And I think some people don't realize all the hats that women have to put on
Right.
just to be classified as a good woman, you know, or classified as a good mother, you know, because with being a good mother, you gotta be a teacher, you gotta be a, you know, it's so, you gotta be a cook, you gotta be a clean the house, you gotta, you know, everything gotta be organized, you gotta pay the bills, you gotta make sure this, you gotta make, oh my God. And it's really overwhelming sometimes. I remember with my children, they had to help out. I was like, here are chores. You know, here are chores. When they got big enough, of course. When they could see over the sink, I was like, listen, here is the chore list, you know, which helped me out a lot. Because I had to figure, make sure they ate. You know, I was being a single parent. Make sure they ate, okay. About school supplies, about, you know, making sure then going to church and singing and preaching and doing all these different things, it was something else. It was something else. And then you gotta, when you are a single parent, you have to be a mother and a father. And some people say a woman can't be a mother and a father. Hey, whatever you think, you know, amen. But I had to, even with Jesus in my life, I had to find out how to get organized with it, how to prioritize it. And then how to tell the kids, hey, this is me time, you know. Send them over to a grandmother's house, you know, or go to your aunt, your auntie house. Hey, you keep them this weekend, I'm gonna keep yours next weekend. You know, I just need time to recoup and get myself together. Because I think a lot of times people pull so much from us till they forget we need a break. You know, we need a break. I'm a person, I'm a woman. You get what I'm saying? I got wants, needs, and desires as well, you know. So it's balanced.
I agree. I had a friend who has, kids and their family members are not, helpful. They're not as a hand in her life with, what I'm saying? With her having children, it's like she always have them. She doesn't have that help that she the support. She doesn't have the support from her family that she needs. So, and it's in like sometimes I feel the same way. Like I don't always have the support from my family when it comes to my kids. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm juggling trying to be the best with them, at times where I feel overwhelmed, I still have to minister to them, in the midst of their chaos. So You know, how do you respond? How do you get to a place of peace with being like playing this role without help? You know what I'm saying? Hey, Rita.
Hi. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, how do you do it by yourself? You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. I prayed a lot. I prayed a lot. I cried a lot. And then I had to tell my children, hey, this is a partnership. It's a partnership. You got to do your part. So and I do my part. But like I said, I made it mandatory for me to have some me time. It was just mandatory, you know, and I being a like I say, with me being a single parent, my children had to learn how to be independent. I made sure they knew how to be independent. You get what I'm saying? And I don't know, you have smaller children or old,
Three. One of my middle child, her birthday is tomorrow, so she's gonna be 5. And then my other daughter, she just turned 9. So 3, 5, and 9 years old. So they're
Wow,
young. You
they're
know, they're
young.
young. You know, and you know what I was thinking? I'm like, well, if I feel like mostly I'm just tired. Like I'm always tired because I'm doing so much. So when it's
Yeah.
time for me to give them the energy that they need, I'm burnt out. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm burnt
Yeah.
out. So, you know, I was talking, I was praying about it or whatnot, you know, and God told me, he was like, you have to become disciplined with some of your habits, with certain type of foods that you eat, some of the things that you eat in, some of the things that, you know, that's taking your energy, like proportion out your plate. You know, eat more healthier meals that doesn't make you fatigue a certain time of the day.
Yeah.
So I guess that's God, you know, just ministering to me on how to be, you know, more proactive in the different roles I have to play, you know, in my household.
Yeah, true,
That's a
true.
tip, like for
Yeah,
anybody, you know.
that's
If
it.
you
That's
feeling
it.
fatigued or if you feeling less energetic when you have small children, it may just be a diet change, something as simple
Yeah.
as changing what you eat. You know, my children always have a lot of energy. So, you know, even the doctor told me, like, what are you feeding your kids that make them so hyperactive? You know, I even took sugar out their diet, and it helps. It
Yeah.
helps. It really helps.
Yeah, I know with mine, I had to do that too. At first of all, I didn't let them eat candy and all that. Listen, when they got older, they was like, my mama didn't let us eat candy. But I had to think about, I need you to keep your teeth, you know, the performance called change, you know, and then I didn't want them. I like one of my sons, he was a what they call chunky, right? And he was battling high blood pressure, and it had nothing to do with, well, you know, high blood pressure's in my family, but he started dealing with it at 13. I was like, what? You know? And so I had to do a lot of changing, you know, all that gravy on food, all that, you know. So it's like you said, I had to take myself out and consider my children, but at the same time, I had to come after I poured all that into that. I started getting aggravated. I started making some mandatory me time, and I figured it out. I got creative with it, even if I had to put them in the living room with a movie playing, and here's y'all popcorn and everything else. And I go, listen, my room was like a listen. So it was like I had to find creative ways to keep me together. Because if you're not together, you're not gonna be any good for the kids anyway. Because you're gonna have an attitude, like you say, you'll be sleep. Because honey, I remember I was sleep on the couch. I was going through depression. I was, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't do like I think Rita mentioned it on one show about self-care. I was not doing self-care. So when I started counseling, like in my doctor's office, I started telling him, hey, I think I need counseling. You know, I think I need to talk to somebody, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm sleeping, crying, and eating, you know? So I went and talked to somebody, and they helped me sift through some of the things going on with me. They helped me to prioritize, you know, and really be honest about how I felt. Like right now, you being honest about how you feel. I had to get there. because I wanted to be super mama, you know. So I guess because I was abandoned by their father, right? So I wanted to show that I could do this on my own. So I had got into this thing. Look at me. I got it going on anyway, but I was neglecting me.
Right.
It's gonna take some, you know, making some decisions and changing some things around and all that good stuff.
Right. Well,
Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Hey. How are you guys? How y'all doing?
We're gonna get into your topic in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get into your topic in a minute, Rita. I hope you're ready.
Something like that.
Something like that.
what was y'all talking about? Self-care and parenting and stuff like that. One thing I do suggest, I'm not so per se a parent, but I am a parent in some form or fashion. I would definitely recommend, if possible, a self-care day, if possible, where you have to take just for you. I mean, you have to say like once a week or half a day, and it's something that you just do with yourself without kids, without, I don't know if you're married or not, spouse or whatever, just something for you. You know, that way you can just go and do your thing. Cause I started doing that. And I mean, it's amazing. Like, cause you get that moment where you can be just you, nobody else is involved. Go to your own restaurant you want to go to, go do something that you like to do. And it gives you a fresh breath of air. Cause if you is burnt out, you don't have nothing in your car, you can't pull out to anybody else. And that's kids, spouse, whoever, because you're burnt out. So what you're giving them, you're only giving fumes. You're only giving, you know, whatever you have left over. And when we at that point, I know I am. I'm grouchy. I got an attitude. I don't want to be bothered. Like, you're going to get what's left of me, which is not quite fair, you know, per se.
Right.
Especially when it comes to the children. I mean, because technically that's supposed to be the first priority. But, you know, life kind of makes us have so much other stuff, so many other roles that we have to partake in. So it's just kind of like you have to take that time to rejuvenate. I know me, I have to go out. And by me being like an introvert type thing, I like my self time. Like, and when I don't have that time, I get grouchy, I get irritated because I'm not so much a person that likes to be involved in a lot. So I have to take that time for me. Otherwise, I'm not no good to nobody else. Like, and that's true. That's the truth of the matter. You know, that's just truth. So when you recognize, okay, look, I have to take this time, like, and if you can do it the same day, same time every week, if not, you got to make it where it works and fits in your schedule. Because like I said, as a parent, you get burnt out. And that's the truth. It's not that you don't love your children, you don't love your spouse. It's just the fact that you still have a life and you still have to rejuvenate your neighbor to be able to give out to others.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I would definitely say if you can, if possible, take that day or that hour. I mean, even if you can't do a whole day, that hour, you know, half a day or whatever it is that you can do to rejuvenate. Because you have to fill back up in order to continue to pour out. Otherwise, people get poor. Yeah. That's how them kids end up, you know, killing their children. Because they don't have nobody. Yeah. They don't have no time to themselves, and they get burnt out. They don't, you know, they never had the chance to take the time because they start getting mentally distraught. Because it's just difficult, to be honest. And it's take that time to realize, okay, look, I got to take some time for me. And it's not being selfish. It's self-care. It's just, I have to take some time for me. And I think that's one of the most important things that a lot of women, per se, look over. Because, you know, we just feel like, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. I got to never take the time to realize we're burning our own self out. And before you know, we're in the hospital. High blood pressure, stress, we depressed, we all of this stuff. Because you're trying to do too much. And there's nothing wrong with doing. It's just the fact that we have to take time to rejuvenate not just naturally, spiritually, all of that, because otherwise you just burnt out. And like you said, you get stressed, you depressed because you can't, you feeling like I can't do all of this, and it just leads from one thing to another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? That brings us to our topic. I remember you posted that you wanted to talk about grief. I recently had a friend who lost her children's father, and something that just unexpectedly happened. I actually had two friends in probably the same month who lost their children's father, you know, just alone this month. So, you know, me personally, when it comes to grief, I don't, I guess I can say I kind of don't really think about a death until after it's done. Like, even during the funeral, you know, the fellowship with the family, it's like, I really don't feel, you know, my emotions don't kick in until it's probably a week later. So, you know, I'm not sure why that happens, but I guess everybody deals with grief a little different. You know, with everybody, you know, whatever the pandemic going on in the world, and so many people are, you know, are dealing with grief right now. Like, what would you say? Like, how can you encourage, you know, people who's losing their close loved ones, you know, parents, even children, you know, what, like, how would you encourage them in this season?
Well, first, I wanted to, you know, because grief is not something that I know we associated with death mostly. Mm-hmm. But grief is basically any type of traumatic loss. Yeah. And I wanted to discuss that because in this season, in this point of life, you have so many people losing so many things. And it's not just, you know, loved ones. That's the most, definitely the most important. But people losing homes, they losing their jobs, they're losing their vehicles, they losing, you know, things that they have been attached to for so many years. And yeah. Suddenly, you know, with the pandemic, all of this stuff is gone. Like, you know, if you don't have a job or any type of financial stability to be able to, you know, handle your business, you know, yeah. Eventually you'll lose your job, you'll lose those things. And then, like you said, one of the most important is losing loved ones. Now, yeah. that like I said, that's one of the things we mostly associate grief with, because mm-hmm. it's a process. And the only thing I can do right now is encourage people to be able to have that, you know, even if they doesn't have their relationship, go, you got to take it one day at a time. You got to take it a step at a time, because yeah. grief is a... oh my gosh, it's an emotional roller coaster. Like, you never know when it's going to boom, slap you in the face. And I mean, you can be good one moment, this next second you boiling, you just bawling in tears. And it's just because, like you saying, how you were saying, everybody deal with it differently. Yeah. And how you were saying, like, it's real, it's not real to you to after the fact. Me personally, I don't think it actually works in real time. Real lifetime and grief time is two totally different time frames, mm-hmm. because though something has been 2 years later, it only feel like technically 2 months, because mm-hmm. because of the process that you having to go through and the reality that you haven't, that hasn't quite set in. And it's 2 years later. Like, my dad passed away about two and a half years ago, and mm-hmm. some days I'm like, what the heck? Like, and you thinking, it's been 2 years ago, but yeah. it doesn't seem like that. You know, it mm-hmm. mean, for people that you have close relationship with, or people that you was close to, and you know they transition, it doesn't set in right away with you, and sometimes some people never get to that point. They doesn't face reality. And my thing is, you have to face reality. And that's what I have to tell myself. I say, okay, look, you have to, but you can't sit here forever. You know, though it hurt, you know, and some days you still kind of the other day I just had a moment. I'm like, wait a minute. Because I personally feel like I never really grieved, but Sometimes it just takes the process. You have to just trust the process, and you know, when you're in it, and it's not. And I tell people, please have your moments, have them, cry, just let it all out if you need to. And that's not just concerning death. That's with anything, divorce, loss. I mean, because these things were attached to you. So whatever it is you have to do to be able to get past that moment, just know that you can't stay there forever. That's what I was in, a deep, dark black hole. And it took God himself to bring me out, because I'm not only my dad had passed. And when I was going through that, within 9 months, I had an aunt that I was really close to that passed. So while I was trying to process, you know, my dad, you know, then I was distraught, like spiritually. The enemy wanted to take my faith. And I prayed and I said, God, what I prayed, I asked you to heal me. You know, sometimes my plan is not God's plan. And because God choose to do something doesn't mean that, you know, that is your fault. And a lot of times people go through this phase where, oh, it's my fault. I couldn't, you know, and it's not your fault. You know, the enemy put in your head is your fault. What's my faith? And my thing was, I'm praying like, God, my faith not strong enough. You know, I'm praying and I'm asking you to, you know, because God, your words say that you are a healer. Lord, your word said this. Lord, I'm standing on your word, and I chew your word won't come back void. I'm quoting, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing all of these things to, this is my heart's desire, God, that you heal them, that you restore them, that you bring them back, because I know you're God that can raise from the dead. This is what I'm saying, to try to understand, like, God, you know, I'm trying to share my heart to you when it didn't go the way I expected to go. I had to be okay with that. You know, I had to learn how to be okay. God, it's your will. And God had to tell me within itself, he's like, you know, this had nothing to do with you. We have to realize that God has predestined a day for all of us that none of us know nothing about. And he had to understand. Like, this day was predestined for you, was in your mother's womb the day that they was leaving. This had nothing to do with you. You know, so when the enemy come in to mess with your faith about, you know, well, maybe I could have done this, or maybe could, but that's part of grief. You try to figure out what you could have done to change the situation. And a lot of times most people have done to the best of their knowledge what they can do. Because in some situations, it's nothing you can't do. You know, and especially, like I said, with everybody right now, you're going through COVID, you can't be in a hospital with your loved ones and watch them pass away, you know, or watch them go. So it's even more detrimental, you know, with people, you know, in a situation that has lost loved ones. And the only thing I can say, really, I used to tell people, it's really nothing you can say to be able to take away the pain, to take away the grief. A lot of times you can just try to be there. And I know with the pandemic, it's kind of hard to even do that, you know, because, you know, the social distancing and all of that stuff. So, you know, you could send a card, or send some love, send some text messages, call, you know, just to check on them, or whatever that you can do to be able to support somebody that's going through grief. And like I said, not just when, you know, somebody lost their home, or somebody lost their vehicle, or somebody don't have a place to stay, they're grieving. Somebody going through divorce, they're grieving. Grieving is not only associated with that. You know, whatever it is that somebody's going through, we have to find ourselves, you know, trying to be that support, you know, while they going through the process. And it's definitely, it's a long, difficult process, you know, and I'm just be truthful about it. And, you know, in the process, you just have to be able to trust God. And that's where I was able to be able to come up, being able to have their relationship with God. I promise you, I told my brother, I said, look, I promise you, you want me to, you and he felt like I should get over it. I said, but I promise you, if I didn't have that relationship with God, I wouldn't be in the place where I'm at. I would be in some deep hole, depressed. And, you know, some days, like I say, you have to go. Some days are depressing. Like I tell them, as your days come, have them. As your moments come, have them, because it's a part of your healing. And I don't hold them back. Look, if I want to lay down all day, because I'm going to lay down all day. I mean, because it's part of what I need. if I can't think and I'm frustrated, I'm having a moment and I have to take that moment, because otherwise I'm grouchy. And some days I'm still, like I said, it's been about 2 years, a year and a half, and I'm still like, wait a minute, why? Like, reality sometimes still just don't sit in. And that's part of the grieving process. You know, like I said, some people take years, and I just would say, you know, have the moments, you know, people be there for people. Don't ask people what happened. Don't be asking, you know, just sometimes just don't say nothing. Cause some things people will say to you kind of actually make you upset. Like, really? Like, be strong. One thing I wanted to tell, be strong for you. You can't be strong for everybody else. Like we was talking about earlier, you can't pour out a cup that is empty. And that's one thing I tell people. I'm like, look, who's telling me to be strong for everybody? I don't have nothing to give nobody. You know, so you have to be strong for you. Understand if you having to be strong for a loved one, you know, but first thing first, make sure you're strong, because you trying to give out on it. You trying to give from an empty cup and you on fumes. I'm like, I got to the point, I don't have nothing else to give. I don't. So you have to be able to gird up the loins in you and be able to rekindle that relationship and that strength within yourself to be able to persevere to the next level. I know I just said a whole lot, but
but that's all right. That's all right. You know, talking is good. Talking is good, because, you know, it's true to respect the grieving process. Because sometimes we know that we should be, we feel that pain or whatever, but we are so caught up with people think I should be over this by now, or people think I should be, right. And you got to get all that out of your way. Because the Bible told us, you know, when somebody's grieving, we need to be tending to them. You know, and have a spirit of understanding for that person that's grieving, you know. And one thing about grieving, I've come into that look to that place many times, and it's always been different. You know, I might cry a year from then. You know, that adrenaline might take me through a year, you know, and then all of a sudden I break down, you know. But I think that the people that are around a person that's grieving, you need to be as supportive as you can, you know? And if you get tired or you starting to feel like you're getting an attitude, you need to step away from them. Yourself together, then get back in the ring, because they are going to need you so they don't fall too far down. I remember when I was going through a grieving process, I was at the hospital and had to take somebody off the machine, you know. And at first I was like, I got the courage to do it. Then when it happened and I saw that last breath, something came over me right at that moment, and a nurse pulled me to the side. She hugged me, she all that, and then she said, don't grieve until death. You know, she said, don't grieve till it get to so heavy till you get lost in that place. And that helped me throughout my grieving process to understand that, you know, that person is in a better place. But at the same time, I was grieving the existence. I was grieving the fact that I wouldn't see this person anymore. I was grieving the fact that, you know, thinking about memories. You get what I'm saying? I went to take a recliner out my house and start crying. I went to take the trash out, start crying. You know, it was, but I had my children around me. My mother would call me and they would help me. They never told me, stop crying. Girl, get over. Girl, it's been a year now. You should be, you know. It was like more of a listen. They just listen. And then they pray, you know, you know, but it's never good to tell a person that's grieving, get over it. It's never good to tell a person you should be past this by now, right down to when they lose a job, their finances change, they got to get a smaller house than the house they was in. You know, when people go through changes in their life, it's never good to have somebody around you that feel like they need to give you tough love in the middle of you losing something. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
You got to really, really, if you don't know how to be around a person that's grieving or that's dealing with loss or that's dealing with rejection, you need to move around. Just stay away from them. You know, if you, my mama used to say, you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. Don't say nothing at all. And I'm going to tell y'all something. There's been so many people that have committed suicide after their parents passed. As they lose a job, they go, you know, they go and shoot up places, all kinds of stuff. You got to be careful what you say to people when they're going through the grieving process. You just need to respect it. Respect it. If you can't deal with it, move out the way. Get on out the way.
Right, because it's a change. It's a change, a life-changing event. Life is no more as what you consider normal, you know? So, and I tell people, if you haven't been there, you don't fully understand. Cause at one point I thought I understood, not until you in that place. But like you said, you have to take the machine out, make a decision to take the machine out for somebody. You see them take their last breath. That's in your mind, like forever. So forever. It's like, right. It's, and it's like, some days it plays like a movie. So it's like when you're like, and like I said, any type of traumatic event, life-changing event, divorce, losing a home, you know, just loss, any type of loss, you know, it's you know, you have to be, like she was saying, supportive. And sometimes everybody grieves differently. You know, some people just shut themselves off in the house, and you haven't seen them or heard them, check on them. Hey, they come to your mind, you hadn't seen them, check on them. You know, sometimes some people don't have that part. Like you said, you had a support system. Some people don't have that support system. They are the strong person. They have to be strong for everybody. They don't have nobody to lean on. Yeah. They don't have a, you know, a husband or children or somebody to support them. They are the strong person. That was me.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when you check on them, see how they doing, because nobody checking on them, they checking on everybody else, you know. So think about when they're in time, check on them, you know, like you said, you have a friend, check on them, see, hey, how you doing, is there anything I can do, do you need me to get the kids, you know, what, you know, something that can be supportive, so they can have that time to grieve, or they can have their time to go through memory, you know, go down memory lane or whatever, so they can have that time, because it's needed. You know, sometimes, like you said, you don't know what to do. And sometimes you don't know what to say during times like, you know, people losing things, and it's like their life changed. They no longer have a house. You got to go stay with somebody. That's depressing. You know, like, I just had this. I done lost a job. I done lost my house. I done lost my vehicle. You know, they on wit's end. And then, especially when you're a believer, you like, God, I trust you, but Lord, what's really going on? You know, so in this, you know, and like I said, support right now, you know, I just believe the enemy just trying to take away our unity, you know, not so much the unity, but us being able to come together, because that's what give us strength. We find strength in numbers. You know, you say one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. That tells me that there is strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. If we can come together, sometimes you can be alone. I can be alone. If somebody come along, Zoom, you know, my strength is out. But as soon as somebody come in there, boom, I get strengthened because we draw from each other. You know, so, and I know, in the thing, in the, you know, so with the social distancing and all of that, and I do respect it, but it's like, it makes us feel like we're alone. It makes you feel like you're by yourself, but we have to let people know, and we have to let us know we're not by ourselves. Even when we are, literally, we have to know that we can be united in spirit and know that God has somebody, check on somebody, you know, call on somebody, you know, to check on them to see how they're doing, you know, because times like this, somebody might not have no food in their house. Hey, since you need something to eat, what's going on? You know, because sometimes people don't know how to ask. They don't know how to ask. They don't know how to say, hey, look, I need some food, you know, because you especially,
you know, you say, it's just like you say, Rita, you the strong one. You the one used to give it. And then when you get in a place where you got to ask, you know.
Right, and nobody used to you ask it.
I was thinking about while you were talking, I also wanted to talk about when people are in a bad marriage, or they're in a, or they have gone through a divorce and stuff like that, and things have changed so dramatically. Because I think even when, like, say, for instance, a woman is in a horrible marriage, or not a horrible, but bad marriage, it ain't really conducive to their lives. You know what I'm saying? And you got friends that come along, oh, girl, you ought to get out of it. Oh, girl, you look what you got. Okay. You got so many voices happening, and you sinking into a depression behind it. You get what I'm saying? You don't know how to feel. You don't know how to, you know, in that situation. I think grief. Not grief, but some of the things that surround grief, like depression, like feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you have failed. It, all of that stuff is like, is to me, is around each other. They like cousins. So you have to be careful again, too. Even when you got a friend dealing with some stuff in their marriage, you got to make sure that you say the right thing. You got to make sure. And I think that a lot of times. And I've dealt with a person who felt like, say whatever, I need to tell you the truth about everything. I need to say it however I need to say it, and tough love and all this. Calm down. You don't have to, you don't always have to be the one to say something hard to somebody. And it's not always the right time to do it. You know, a person that's going through a transition in life, they just need you to be there for support. They don't need you to tell them how to do it. They don't need you to tell them when to do it. They don't need you to tell them, make them feel stupid about where they are. Watch what you say to people. Watch how you handle people. Watch, you know, because some people are angry. So when they see you in a situation that's similar to something they was in, they get to talking crazy. Listen, this ain't your issue. This is something they're dealing with. We gotta learn how to become friends with one another. Instead of those people that think that we got the answer for everybody. Go ahead.
You know, one of my biggest thing about this is I feel like church people, religious people are the worst to be around when you lose a loved one. I feel like and the time of grief is it's really not the time for you to start preaching about why this person has passed away, or this happened because of this, or that happened because of they was doing this, or you know, I feel like that right now is not the time for you to talk about the lifestyle of that person or what led up to this person passing away. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that could be the most devastating, depressed, that it makes you more depressed to even like to comfort someone in a way of reminding a person of why or how or what led up to them, you know, passing or whatnot. You know, I just want to say, like, it ain't the time for that. Let God reveal to whomever, you know, who lost a loved one, let God reveal to them what and why. Like, it ain't for you to you know, make your judgments or your opinions about, you know, why somebody passed away.
That's true.
Right.
I'll
Yeah,
just
with
see
the bill and all of that, it's like to me it's disrespectful, you know, because
Yeah.
it's already hurting, you know, it's already the person is already hurting and you trying to
Right.
figure out life, your new way of life, especially if it's someone, your spouse, your children, or whatever the case is, and you trying to figure out this whole new normal and
Right.
somebody coming along and saying, you'd be like,
Look, oh,
You
but
know
oh,
what I mean? Like,
but what
why
gets
you want to
me?
say that right now?
But what gets me is when people think that a person came against them and that's why they passed away. God took them on out of here. I want you to get your life right. I want you to really, really see God and get your spirit man right. Because I heard somebody say that in the church. That's why I was laughing, because I heard somebody say that in the church. Well, I told. It was a warning that came from the prophet that if she didn't get her life right and she didn't do this right, that she was gonna leave up out of here. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. She had cancer. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And that's why I say, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. You gotta watch what, And some people think because they have all those titles on the front of their name, they got a right to speak death over into somebody's life. You need to get your life together. Get your life right. Get it together. That's not the spirit of God. Okay. Right. I agree.
Because at that moment, like you don't know what's going on mentally in a person's mind. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of young, people that's passing away or whatnot. And you got, even with the shootings, and you got people who are involved in certain activities in their personal life that causes, certain incidents, that is not for you to make judgment about. Like, it's not for you to speak on what went on in a personal life. I can't, that right there, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's enough to make you want to retaliate, against people who have that judgmental, statement about what a person did and, what they was doing in their personal life. And, Like, right now, that ain't the time for that. It's just not. Like, I feel like if you love me or if you hear for me, like, don't come around, don't come to a funeral and be a spectator, or don't come to a funeral looking around, to voice your opinion to other, ears. Like, take the time to comfort, speak life in the midst of, death. Like, can you speak life? Can you, be the water to plant, because what if I'm dying mentally and, emotionally? Can you be the water, So speak into my life.
Right. Well, I like this topic today because like I said, if you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
Right.
Sometimes just call your friend and let them ramble on. Mm-hmm. Don't say nothing. Just let them go. Just let them talk till they say, "You there?" And then be like, "Yeah, I'm here." Then say, "Are you okay?" And then as soon as they say, "Yeah, I'm fine," I say, "Well, I just want to pray with you," and then pray with them, and then get off the phone.
Because,
honey, they don't need to know. You don't know why nothing. I'm just on here. You don't know why nothing. So just hold the phone and let them get out what they need to say. Girl, you lost your husband because you didn't cook. Girl, please. Stop saying all this extra. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. And Glory, you so on it with the church people, Jesus. With that I call it the church world. Because they ain't got nothing to do with the church. They the church world.
Religious people.
What'd you say, Rita?
Say religious people.
Religious.
Yes.
What you was talking about the husband or the wife or whatever they going through, have that perfect relationship. I told people, look, at the end of the day, quit listening to folks. Quit listening, because at the end of the day, who got to go home to this person? Like, people have so much to say, and I seen a similar situation like that before, and I took them to the side. I said, look, at the end of the day, you, mama, sister, brother, uncle, cousin, whoever, they don't have to go home to this person.
They sure don't.
You make a decision that you want to be with this person, ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. Because at the end of the day, I'm not the one who have to deal with him. But I'd be like, girl, nah, you should stay with him. Nah, girl, you should leave him, girl. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to go home to that person. You do. Now, if you choose, now it may not be in your best interest, and people may be truth, but if you choose, the choice is yours. if you choose to stay with this person, and then if it's a marriage, and you like, look, well, to death do us part, well, babies, look, somebody got to go. Look, we
and I'm gonna throw this nugget in there, for the super religious people. Okay, if I throw this one up in here. Okay, there is not an apostle, preacher, pastor, bishop, whatever, evangelist, elder, whatever, that can tell you to stay or go. You got no reason. Listen. Okay, okay. Nobody has the right to walk in and tell you to stay or go. You get what I'm saying? If he beat you upside your head, I'm gonna be one to say, "Hey, get out of there before he kill you." I'm gonna say that. Right. I'm gonna say that. But if it ain't nothing like that, and you just trying to make a decision because you feel, I just want to hear, you know, and counsel you through it. But I'm never gonna tell you to leave. I'm not gonna do it because I don't want you. This is what happened. I'm gonna say, if I say, girl, get out that marriage, you ain't happy. Guess what? You're gonna get down the road about 2 weeks, and then you'll be telling everybody that apostle over there is a witch because she told me to get out my marriage and I miss my husband and I can't. And Lord have mercy. So I ain't gonna tell you.
You know what? That's a whole nother topic.
Oh my God. That's a whole nother topic. That's, but anyway,
you know what? But you know, you do have to have wisdom. You have to have wisdom on what to say to people. You know, even when you see you know what you have to do when you're involved in a situation. Don't nobody gotta tell you you need to do this or you need to do that. Like, you already know what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying, like. So it's just really up to you. Just don't call me when it happened. don't call me when it happened because I don't know what to tell. At that point, I don't know what to say. You know what I'm saying? Because you already knew. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's me personally. I can't have, I don't know how to have a conversation with somebody who already know. You know what I mean? Like, you already know. You already see. Because you talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's that much of a weight to you, you got to make a decision. I can't make a decision for you.
Yeah. Some people, they just need it. All you got to do is tell them, hey, you know what God told you to do.
Exactly.
And ask God for courage to do it. Because that's all it is. Yeah. You come to me because you know that the decision you made ain't the right decision. But you want me to co-sign on it. I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
Or you want somebody to talk you out of it?
Yeah.
You already know. Man. God already told you. Don't get no other opinions. God already informed you what to do. You know how we do. The Lord that told you something. And then you like,
be obedient. Obedient is obedience. Better than that.
You're like, man, that's not what I want to hear.
Just be obedient. What that mean?
Like, you know what that means?
Yeah. They want to put you on the
scapegoat.
Man, I can't. All right, Rita, go ahead
and sum us up. We got 3 minutes left. Sum up your topic for today.
We went. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Happy Inauguration Day.
Got my pearls on.
Yes. Got my chucks ready. But thank you for joining us today. I hope this show was informative, empowerment, or inspiring in some form or fashion. And just always know that no matter what you go through, God is with you. You know, we trust the process, even when we don't understand it. Trust the process even when you don't understand it. And thank you. Us again next week. We're here Wednesday, 10 a.m. ish, somewhere up in that. So enjoy your day.
Okay. Go ahead, Glory.
Well, thank you so much for listening today's show. I just want to encourage you, if you are going through grief, you know, don't isolate yourself. Find things to do that excite you. You know, relive the memories. Don't shut them out, or don't shut, you know, other people out around you, you know, unless they're just being negative. But relive the memories. You know, it helps you to heal faster. So, yeah. You know, anybody, whoever, if you are going through this, you know, I encourage you. I'm praying for you. I hope you stay, you know, strong and be blessed.
Amen. Okay, well, I want to give a shout out to Keisha. Hey, Keisha, we love you. We miss you. You can always click on the link. Just let me know when you're ready to come on the show. All right. We've had a good talk today. Get yourself balanced. Remember self-care. Okay. if you are love that up, love that inner you. That's right, Keisha, that love that inner you. Always, if you are going, if you have lost someone or something or some job or some relationship, hey, let's complete the process, complete the steps, okay? Grieve right. Okay, now, if God didn't told you to leave that man, because he beating you upside your head. If God told you, be obedient. That's the last nugget of the show. Be obedient. Whatever God told you to do, obey.
Help us, God.
What you say? What you say, Rita?
No, I said, Lord, help us, God.
Lord, help us, God. Help us. Some of y'all, can I just do a word? Some of y'all, he told y'all to leave a long time ago. And then somebody came to you and said, girl, don't you leave your husband. Girl, don't you leave that man. He's a good man. And guess what? You're married to him and you are miserable. Mm-hmm. Obey God. Obey the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's somebody for everybody, but it's somebody that God created for everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't marry somebody else's man, okay? Wait, did I say it at the end of the show? Don't marry somebody else's husband. You're going to be miserable. Mm. I'm going to just pause. Moment of silence. Amen. Hallelujah. Get that in your spirit. All Woo. Right. Oh, my God. Okay, y'all. Love y'all. Peace out. This has been Sisters United. We will readjourn next week. Davida will be here next week with us. Hopefully we get Keisha on here. We love you, girl. Shout out. Peace. Y'all put your pearls and your chucks on. We got a black woman as a vice president, as a VP. That means let's move on. All right. Love y'all. Bye-bye.